a lot of times we end up, you know, as churches, we have next week is Palm Sunday. And so generally that passage is somewhat something about the triumphal entry of when Christ entered Jerusalem. But Steve messed it up, and we're already in Jerusalem today. But anyway, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 21. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, we are going to talk today about Jesus when he cleansed the temple. And so as we get into this passage, my heart is that we take this passage for what it was and what it is and what it will be. And so let's go ahead and let's read. We're going to start on verse 12. So if you read along with me, it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, and said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant, and they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?' And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there." Let's pray. Father God, I just lift up your word to you. And Lord, we know you promise it will never return you void, but will accomplish everything that you set it out to do. And I thank you for that promise, because I don't want to get in the way. Lord, I pray that your spirit would move among us today. Take these verses, take the words that you've given me, and just change our lives to glorify you more, to bring honor to you, to praise you, to see what it is you desire of us, Lord, from this passage. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you would be glorified in your name. Amen. Now, right prior to this, of course, like I said, the triumphal entry, and he came in and he's riding on the colt, and they're laying palm branches down in front of him, and they're singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they're worshiping him as he comes in to Jerusalem, and he makes his way to the temple. And when he makes his way to the temple, there are going to be some things that take place in the city. They're getting ready to have the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're getting ready to have that. And so people are coming to the temple from all over, and they would offer up sacrifices, and they would come, and they would pay their temple tax, you know, that would allow them to keep the temple up and to be able to use the temple. And so when they do that, this is what happens in this passage, is that Jesus comes in and he sees this mess going on in the temple. And the first thing he does is when he walks in, it tells us that he drives them out, but he had to have saw right off the bat all of these people, all of this money changing, all of these animals in the temple courts, and everything's going on that. And he says, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be called a house of prayer. So that tells us that it was supposed to be a place that was referred to or had a reputation of being a house where you communicated with God. You came there and you offered sacrifices, or you spent time in prayer, but you spent time communicating with God. And he sees when he gets there all of this going on, and it upsets him. I'm going to go so far as to say it made him pretty angry. But it was okay, because it was a righteous anger, if you will, because of what they were doing to God's house. And so not only did he see that they had kept it from having the reputation it was supposed to have, He tells them that you have made it a den of thieves or a den of robbers, depending on your translation. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Now, this is the chief priests and the scribes and all the religious people that have this all set up, and they've organized this so it will be easier. They've got this set up to where people can come in and they can exchange their currency from Roman currency to the proper currency that you would use in the temple, so that they could have that, and then they would have animals there so that it would be easier for people to just come in and just come into church and just buy your sacrifice here. That way you don't have to travel with it. That way you don't have to look through your flock and take one that's at your flock, because you might not have one that doesn't have a blemish, and so, or you want to keep that in your flock. You want to keep that one in your flock because it has no blemish. So I'm just going to buy another one that has a blemish, that doesn't have a blemish. And so they would come prepared to buy, or they were sitting there, and so when you came to buy, they sold you this lamb or these doves at a price that might just be a little bit higher than they should have been, because, hey, you show up, you've got to have it. They've got you over a barrel. You're going to have to pay the price that they have. And so they were actually making a profit over these sacrifices. And so he says, you've made it a den of thieves. And it tells us at the beginning, he drove them out. Can you imagine? These people come to work. And they come to work in the church, or the temple, as they called it. And their whole setup is, this is what I'm doing for God. And Jesus, this guy that calls himself the Messiah, the Son of God, he's coming in and he's dry. He turned over my table. He's telling me that what I'm doing is wrong. He's telling me that I'm defacing the temple, that I'm making it be called a den of thieves. Well, you know, really, I'm making things easier for people. You know, I'm making it easier for them to exchange their Roman currency for just a little bit less of my currency. Or here's an animal that makes it easier. And so Jesus doesn't just come in and say, you're making this a den of thieves. It tells us in verse 12 that he drove them out, all of them. He didn't leave a couple there. He didn't just take the ones with the animals, the smelly animals, and get rid of them. He didn't just get rid of a few of the money changers. He didn't just say, move over here. It says he drove them out. He didn't want any of that garbage in his Father's house. We don't really know what took place between verse 13 and 14, where he tells them that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And then in verse 14 it says, and the blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them into the temple, and he healed them. We don't know how long of a time frame that took. From the time that he ran them out, he drove them all out. And the next thing we hear is that the blind and the lame are coming to him in the temple, and he's healing them. So what takes place? It's very important, and this is what God had for me this week, because I think sometimes we miss some of these things, is that Jesus cleared the temple, and once the temple was cleared, the things that God had planned took place. Now that there was no money changers, now that there was no people coming to that place to get their animals in the temple and all the things that they were doing wrong, once that was out of there, then they could do what God would be glorified for. The blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them. That's what it was about. It was about coming and letting God be glorified by God moving and then being healed. And immediately after that, it tells us that the children were crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." When God starts doing in the temple what He wants to do, there is going to be true, unadulterated praise. Nothing's going to get in the way of that. When God starts healing people, the blind and the lame, the next thing we know is that the children are praising Him. "Hosanna to the Son of David." But you know, every time God is glorified, somebody gets upset. Now, you wouldn't think that would be the case, but that's always the case. Here it says the chief priests and the scribes, those religious people, those preachers, those Sunday school teachers, they saw not just what Jesus did, they saw the wonderful things that He did. And He's healing people. He's healing lame people. He's healing blind people. How dare He? And it says they became indignant. And they got upset because He was being praised for doing what God does. And Jesus goes on to tell them, hey, this is what was said was going to happen. And so this week, as I began to study this message, I'm going to kind of get the horse back in front of the cart here, is God said, Steve, you need to think about your temple. Because this is not the first temple that Jesus cleaned. This is my reference to a temple He would clean later. Because you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that your body is the temple of the Lord. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. And now if we take and we look at what Jesus did in this temple, when I get up on Thursday morning, how is my temple of the Lord? How is my relationship with Him? What is my life like? And how does He see it? We need to look at what He did for this temple. And we need to look at our lives. Because we're not specifically told, but we can kind of gather from this that prior to Him cleaning the temple, we don't hear of any blind people being healed. Prior to Him cleaning the temple, we don't hear of any lame being healed. God says, Steve, why do you not see me moving more in your life? Why don't you see me moving more in your life, in the church overall? Why do people not see me moving in my church? Maybe my temple needs to be cleaned. When Jesus came that day, He didn't like what He saw. There's a lot of times in our life, if we just had to be real honest, and we thought Jesus was just all of a sudden looking over our shoulder, we know He sees it all anyway, but if we just got a glimpse in our mind of the fact that Jesus was just walking behind us, looking over our shoulder, He probably would not like what He sees. Now, I'm not talking about when He watches us walk in on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or Bible study nights. I'm talking about when things are not going good at work, when things are rough at home, wherever you're at, those times that are tough, and Jesus is standing there looking over your shoulder. Does He like what He sees in the temple? When He, years ago, looked at me, what He saw was a sinner in need of a Savior. He saw someone that, like he calls it like He saw it when He came into the temple. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Make it personal. You put your name there. I'm putting my name there. Steve, I created you for a relationship with me. And you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You're not what you're supposed to be. And maybe you're already a Christian. And he says, Steve, you're not what you're supposed to be. I expect you to be that child of mine that lives and walks and talks and reacts the way I would react. He's going to call it the way he sees it. He tells us in John chapter 3 that we stand condemned already. Well, we don't like to hear that. But if you've never accepted Christ, you stand condemned already. Well, I haven't done anything terrible. You know, why would God send me to hell? I've not done anything terrible. But it's like, as a human, we're on a sinking ship. And until we realize that Jesus Christ is the lifeboat, He's not making us stay on that ship. He's not dragging us off that ship, but He has provided the lifeboat in Jesus Christ. And if you choose to stay on that ship, you're going down with the ship. He's not sending you down. He's not making you go down. He's actually providing a way off, but you're not choosing it. He saw me as He saw that temple. Filthy, in need of a Savior, and condemned. And He called it like it was. But you know, He didn't make a cord, a whip, and drive that stuff out of me. Depending on which gospel you're reading, there's one where He makes a whip and He drives them out. But for me and for you, He didn't make that whip and drive that filth out. Instead, He walked to a cross and He put it all on His back and He died in my place. And so I have to understand that that's what He did for me, so that He could clean out my temple. And once the temple's clean, I begin to see, like those blind people, I begin to see people more like He wants me to. I begin to see people as lost. I begin to see people as hurting. I begin to see people, we begin to see people once He's cleaned our temple. Once He's got the garbage out, we begin to see people the way He wants us to see them. He healed the lame. When He heals us, when He cleans our temple, then we are able to walk as He would want us to walk. That's His desire. But as long as my temple is filthy, as long as it is unclean and condemned, it's really hard for me to see the way He sees and to walk the way He wants me to walk. But once He does that, once He cleanses the temple, once we allow Him to cleanse our temple, His temple, then what happens is He begins to work in us. And it's a long process. It's called sanctification. And man, I've got a long ways to go. But He wants to take and He wants to work in me and He wants to get that garbage out of my temple, out of His temple. Excuse me for keep saying that. But to get the things out of the temple that shouldn't be there so that He can work through Him. And when this temple was clean, were they praising the temple? Were the children praising the temple? No. They were praising God. They were praising Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. When God cleans my temple or the temple that I am, then who should get the praise? The Bible tells me that when people see your good works, they will praise your Father in heaven. They're not going to praise the temple because they know you couldn't clean it. They know I can't clean it. If you or I could clean the temple, then there would be no needs for Jesus. But you and I can't clean the temple. You know, when he comes to that temple, here's the scribes and the chief priests, and they're all there, and they've got things clicking just like they want it. And all of a sudden, this guy comes in, this Messiah, so-called Messiah, and he's going to clean the temple. Well, you know, really, he's the only one that had the authority to do that, because that was his Father's house. And when it comes to cleaning your temple and my temple, he's the only one that has the authority to do that, because he's the only one that died on the cross for your sins and my sins. When he cleanses our temple, he takes all the garbage and gets rid of it. And people will start to see how God's moving in your life. And they're going to start praising God for what he's doing in you and around you. Guess what? There's going to be somebody that's upset. The opposition is always there. When God is glorified, when God is praised, the opposition is always there. If you go out here and you start talking to people and sharing the love of God with people, somebody's going to get upset. That's the way it works. It's what happened here. The chief priest says they became indignant because of the fact that he did wonderful things. He cleansed the temple, he healed the lame and the blind, and they got mad because children were praising him. You start working the way you're supposed to work. You start allowing God to clean you out to where he can work through you. Expect opposition. But you know, I know that the Bible tells me that even though I'm going to face opposition, you're going to face opposition, tells me that God inhabits the praises of his people. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, no matter what opposition I face, I know who wins. Now, as we wrap this up, we saw Jesus cleanse this temple back then. Talked about how he cleansed my life, your life, if you've accepted Christ. If you haven't, he wants to do that in your life. But then I can sit here and I can say, okay, I'm in the pew, I've already accepted Christ. He cleansed my temple years ago. Yes, he did. But you know, some scholars believe that when John records this, it's at the beginning of his ministry, when John records the cleansing of the temple. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it after the triumphal entry. A lot of scholars believe that there was two different times that Jesus cleansed the temple. And that's what I kept getting stuck on this week. And I went back and I researched, and some scholars say, no, it's just that John wrote it at a different time in his gospel. He put it at the beginning, but it really was the same time. It was just one time. But I know for me personally, God has to cleanse my temple constantly. If you look and I believe it's John, Mark, he goes and he rides into Jerusalem, and when he gets into Jerusalem, he goes to the temple and he says he looks around and everything's fine. And then he leaves and goes to Bethany to spend the night, and then comes back the next morning and finds this garbage and drives it out. And it records that in the same gospel. He comes in and the temple's good. He looks around, everything's good. And the very next day, he comes back and he has to drive people out because garbage has got in overnight. Don't ever think that because you accepted Christ years ago, that you don't have garbage in your life. Because that's our problem. That's why the people out there on the street don't want to come in here. Because they know that you have as much garbage and I have as much garbage as they do, and we're claiming to be religious, righteous people sitting in here looking down on them. We need our temple cleansed daily. And if I go in the morning, I'm still going to need it cleaned at night. If I go at night and I go to bed, I'll get up the next morning and I probably need it cleaned. We need to understand as Christians that we are not okay. We are forgiven by the grace of God. And yes, my salvation is set in the fact that what Jesus Christ did for me, it says He gave me eternal life. Well, if He gave me eternal life, that means it's eternal. He's given that to me. I give them eternal life and no one shall snatch them from my hands. But in that verse, it doesn't ever say that He's good to go. Because God knew I was going to mess up every day. We need to understand that He's going to call it like it is. He's going to call it like He sees it. He's going to tell you. But not unless you look in this book. Because you can listen to me and you can just say, that's some guy up there ranting about the fact that we're all terrible people. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we are never good enough for what God desires and deserves. What He's done through Jesus Christ covers my garbage with righteousness. But why should I want to keep piling up garbage in my life? Why should I say, well, you know, this is okay. This is life. Everybody expects it. Everybody does it. And just live with it. Answer me this question. You have a dishwasher at your house, and so you clean all your dishes. Maybe it's your first dishwasher. And I'm just going to go back to when I was in college, we would have these cups. And we would stack them up, and there would be 30-some cups stacked up because I hated washing cups. We got to a first house we had that had a dishwasher. Man, was that awesome. You know what? We washed all those plates and all those cups. And then after that first meal, we had to wash them again. Why didn't we just leave them on the table? Man, we had washed them initially. They're good enough. But sometimes we treat our spiritual life like dishes in a dirty sink. I know I washed them eventually. And I know next Sunday I'm going to wash them again. But how many of you leave your dishes from Sunday to Sunday without washing them? That would be pretty disgusting. Don't raise your hand if you do. We don't want to know. Not trying to make fun of you. Because I know we got college students in here. And so that might happen. But spiritually, that's what we do. We know we originally washed them in the blood of Jesus. But what happens is I go longer and longer between cleaning out that temple, allowing God to come in and purge that garbage out of my life. You and I need to understand that Jesus is going to call it like He sees it. We need to listen to Him. But we need to let Him take that and wash it away daily. I'm sure there's some of you that when you go to bed at night, there's not a dirty dish in your house. It's not our house. My wife's been gone for 3 days. Trust me, that's not our house. But man, that's what I want my spiritual life to be like. I want it to be clean and spotless without blemish. Because that's what His Word tells me it should be. He wants to keep the temple clean so that He can be glorified. And it doesn't say that the blind person praised God. I'm sure he did. It doesn't say that the lame person jumped up and praised God, which I'm sure he probably did. But it said these little children that were just standing around started praising God because of what He was doing. Those people you would not expect began to praise God. When you and I keep taking our temple back to God and allowing Him to clean it, those people that we would never expect to praise God are going to begin to praise God. And that's what He desires, is for people to come to Him and praise Him. I'm going to close with your dishes. I know that's not the thing you're thinking, that you're going to have an invitation over dishes, but this is where we're at today. So, man, sometimes I feel like I've had spaghetti sauce on me for a week. And even when I wash it, it's still red. There's still a hint of the dirty there. But I praise my Father in heaven, because when He washes me, maybe it's been weeks or months since I fell down at an altar or broke my heart before Him and said, cleanse me, forgive me. It's not like there's even going to be a hint of anything left, because He cleanses everything with His blood. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, forgive us where we fall short in so many ways. Lord, forgive me when I think everything's good, because, Lord, I know if I search deep enough that it's not. Lord, I pray for each person in this place. Lord, I pray that if there's one person in this place that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that they've never had that opportunity just to feel clean by the blood of Jesus. I pray for them today that they would not walk out of this place without understanding that when You walked to the cross, it was for them. Lord, I pray for others like me that need their temple cleaned. We fall before You and we just ask that You would do that. Lord, move in this place. Move in our hearts, move in our lives. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.